So by way of just beginning, okay, I had experiences in rather, there were times when we disciple people. So when I was in Australia, I had this Jonathan. Okay, Jonathan was in first year of university, but he really just got saved, so he was in the same course as me. So we kind of did Bible study for one whole year. Okay, one whole year. Just relating an experience, because I think it's useful to understand. For me, I will reflect. Okay, for this whole year, following up this person, then at the end of the entire year, we finished the 26 lessons on ABCs of Christian growth. I think we all know ABCs of Christian growth, right? So from the at that time, I didn't really understand the basic principles of discipleship. So I kind of just taught the lessons. After teaching the lessons for one whole year, at the end of the year, this Jonathan came and told me that, Brother Johnny, you know, I think these lessons are good, but, you know, I think I still want to live my life. So, we are often taught that the Word of God is enough to change the person. Right? Which it is. The Word of God is enough to change the person. Alright? But then at the end of the whole year, there don't seem to be any desire in that person. And today the person is just doing his own thing, just doing his own career. There don't seem to be change in that person's life, and he just want to follow his own way. And it got me to thinking, and it's not just the first one, there's a couple more that over time the Lord is beginning to impress upon me. It's not so much the content that is being given to their person, but actually it's the instrument that's being used to bring the message across. Does that make sense? So I may have a nice container, I may have some nice drink or food, but when the container is not inviting, the person may not want to partake of that. Does that make sense? And so there's something that as we read, as we study today, as we look at what the Bible says today, hopefully we will ask ourselves, Lord, how is my life a demonstration of the power of Christ to someone else? Okay, let's turn to a few verses. Turn to John chapter 13, verse 15. Okay, we'll be going through a few verses. Okay, John chapter 13, verse 15. John chapter 13 and verse 15. Let's read together, and then we'll just talk about that verse for a while. Ready? One, two, go. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Okay, in John chapter 13 was Jesus' example of doing what? Doing what? John chapter 13. Sorry, washing the disciples' feet. Okay, so specifically in the context of John 13, Jesus says, I have given you an example. What is an example? What is an example? What's the meaning of an example? What does example mean? An illustration? Okay, something that you look at and then something that you follow through with. Right? Okay, like for example, a 10-year series, you have examples or work examples of how you should do maths, or in economics, how you should answer certain questions. You have a model answer. Okay, that's an example of an answer. Jesus says, I've given you in my life, as I wash the feet of the disciples, an illustration so that you would then do how and what I've done to you. Okay? All right? Okay? How and what I've done to you. That's the first verse. Let's look at the second verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. I'll skip one. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Let's read together as well. Ready? One, two, go. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. If you actually look at the few verses before that, you will realize that Peter actually mentioned what Jesus went through. Okay? Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Sorry, I mean 1 Peter. 1 Peter, yeah. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. Okay, if you look at for verse 20, for what glory is it if, when you were buffeted for your faults, if you're suffering for what you've done wrong, you shall take it patiently. Or when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called. You know what Peter was saying? The goal of the Christian life, as we live for Him, we're called to sometimes suffer for Him. We're called to sometimes suffer for Him. Okay, we've got to suffer for Him. And what Jesus did was, in His life of living righteously, in His life of doing the right thing for God, He actually suffered. And when He suffered, the Bible actually says in 1 Peter chapter 2, 21, Jesus was in effect living an example. That as we do right, the outcome could be wrong. Or rather, the outcome could be... Sorry, I just passed the things. Come on. Hi. To the back, yeah. When we actually do the right thing, we could actually suffer for it. I was just reading through, I think in the ACE, they actually have this book called In His Steps. Okay? In His Steps. And the book In His Steps, like, how many of you read the book In His Steps? Okay? One? Anyone else? In His Steps? No one? Okay, In His Steps is actually a wonderful book because... Jeremiah was reading through it, and I was learning a lot from him as well. How a pastor actually from this particular church decided that he needs to resign. Because he had to resign because he's been too luxurious. Alright, he's well paid and all that. And he says, I'm resigning from pastorate because I'm too luxurious, I'm going to the heathen. He's been living life so luxuriously, and because this verse was actually haunting him and says, if Christ suffers so that someone else can live, then what am I doing here? That's what he's thinking. Okay, that's what he is thinking. Alright? But I think the key point we want to learn here is, for even hereunto were ye called. Christians, we are called to, not called to a life of suffering, but we are called to a life whereby when we do right, we are prepared to suffer for it. Okay? Think about that for a while, right? Leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. In this particular book, In His Steps, there was one, the pastor who actually challenged the congregation, come and suffer. Jesus calls us to come and suffer. Okay? Let's turn to the next verse. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. 1 John 2, verse 6. 1 John 2 and verse 6. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. Okay, the Bible actually says, let's read together. 1 John 2 verse 6. Okay, it's over here. Ready? 1, 2, go. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Okay, the principle that we want to highlight today is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, has in his life given many things in his life that he has done. And he made it very clear that what I've done to you, I expect you, as my followers, to follow my example. I expect you, my disciples, my followers, to follow my example. Okay? In the life of Christ, for the disciples was a model in which they have to imitate. The Lord Jesus Christ, like I mentioned, wasn't here to teach doctrine alone. Of course, He taught us what the Father had. But more importantly, when we understand the life of Jesus Christ, His was a life for us to imitate. His life was for us to imitate, okay? The Lord Jesus Christ, when He was on planet Earth, wanted to show a world where men live without love, okay? The Jews hated the Romans and wanted to... There were freedom fighters, okay? The Jews, the Zealots, were freedom fighters who wanted to fight the Romans. But Jesus came and taught them, bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. And people were like, you sure? Jesus wanted to live a life to show these people what kind of life they had to live. Okay, the Lord Jesus showed them how to live. The Lord Jesus wanted the disciples to learn how to live right with God and how to live right with men. The disciples needed to know that their spiritual interaction with God is to how it is to be maintained and how it is to be shared with people in evangelism. Basically, before I go into the specific areas that Jesus showed his disciples, the context, the gist of today's lesson has for us is the Lord Jesus Christ came to show in his entire life an example of how we need to live our Christian life. And the question as we are going through this in the next half an hour or so, is my life patterned after Jesus Christ? Because that's our goal, to walk in his steps. That's what the Bible says. He says that he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walk. If we say that we are Christians, then we ought to walk even as Jesus walked. In other words, his life of ministry, his life of work, his life of service, his life of interaction, his life of family, his life of how he spoke with people, everything, God expects us to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the Lord Jesus, in showing them how to live, focus on a few areas that are vitally important to ensure that the world will see him and the world will be able to find Jesus Christ. Okay, does that make sense? Any questions up to there? So you're going to focus on a few key areas that Jesus highlighted many times in his life, and that for us, we will need to, if it's not strong in our life, we need to build it up, so that we will become more and more like Jesus Christ. Then after we apply, how is it in our life we need to do in terms of discipleship? Okay, the first area is prayer. The first area is prayer. Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ gave absolute much attention to the area of prayer in his life. Okay, so I'll just highlight a few key moments in his life that he prayed. Okay, let me just read. And these are some of the key moments. I'll just read in Luke chapter 3:22. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heavens opened. Okay, that was a key point of Jesus' life. And the Bible says that he was praying. He was praying. That was a key point, because why? That was the opening part to his entire public ministry. He was showing himself to the world. Okay? The next one in Luke 6:12, his choice of apostles. And this is interesting, because in Luke 6:12, the Bible says, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. If you just read that verse by yourself, how Jesus went out to pray, but we have to understand the context, because the next morning, he was going to choose his apostles. Luke 6:13 and 14. He was going to choose his apostles. So in the key moment when an important decision was to be made, Jesus spent the whole night in prayer. How many of you have tried that? You know how hard it is? I've tried that before. It's like about 15 minutes. you fall asleep. You like to imitate your life after Christ, but you know what? Prayer is spiritual work. Like I mentioned, prayer is spiritual work. We cannot say, I'm going to pray. Once you say, I am going to pray, you're gone. I say, Lord, when you put God, I say, God, I want to pray, but you need to help me. You need to strengthen me. All right? Jesus spent whole night in prayer because he had to choose his apostles. The next one, during his transfiguration, in Luke chapter 9, verse 29, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. That was an important moment. I mean, what is the significance of the transfiguration? Anyone? FBI? Or Life of Christ? Haven't covered it, right? Okay. In FBI, they're going to cover Life of Christ. What is the significance of the transfiguration? Anyone? That was the point where Moses and Elijah, representing the Old Testament prophets, telling Christ, you are going to the cross. It is to confirm for them that all the law and the prophets have spoken about the fact that you are going to the cross. And at that time, the Bible says, Jesus prayed. Okay? And there was a key moment as well. The next one, in Matthew 26, verse 27, the Lord's Supper time, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, and he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, drink ye all of it. And then Luke 23, verse 46, when he died. He still prayed before he died. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. So the key point that I want to highlight here is, at every point of Jesus' life, at the key moments of his life, he was praying. And not just that, his entire life was a life of prayer. Okay? What was the purpose of Jesus highlighting this many times in the scripture? The next slide, I'll just read this. "One thing is certain, unless the disciples have grasped the meaning of prayer and learned how to practice it with consistency, not much would ever come from their lives." If we ever want to be a disciple maker, we need to practice prayer. You know, the principle of prayer, it is such a privilege for us as believers. But honestly, how much do we pray, even as a church? How much do we pray? How much do we give ourselves to concerted prayer? Jesus wanted to show his disciples, even though I'm the Son of God, when he chose his 12 disciples, he spent 6 hours in prayer. Okay? And when he had to do certain things that is key, he spent much time in concerted prayer, putting away everything else, going to God in prayer. One thing is certain, unless the disciples, and maybe even applying to us, unless we have grasped the meaning of prayer and learned how to practice it with consistency. Now the last part for me is convicting. Not much would ever come in their lives. Is it possible? Yeah, we may be prayer. On Friday we talk about prayer. Do we pray mechanically or do we pray with the heart? And we learned that on Friday, when we pray, we need to pray in the Spirit. In the Spirit means praying with the help of the Holy Ghost and praying sincerely from our hearts. Right? Okay, so any questions? One thing is certain, Christian, applying to our lives, unless we have grasped the meaning of prayer and learned how to practice it with consistency, not much will ever come from our lives. At every point. So let it drop, just drop that in for a while. So hopefully we will begin to put in effort in this area. And I'll be the first to acknowledge, and I believe many of us will say the same. Prayer is hard work. Simply because prayer is spiritual work. The human flesh don't want to pray. Did you know that? When we go through trials or when we go through difficulties, sometimes it's so hard to pray. But like I mentioned on Friday, when you find it hardest to pray, that's the time you need to pray. When you go against your spirit, I don't want to pray. God said, no, you have to pray. Kind of like sometimes when Esther Joy, sometimes my family, when there's a splinter in the hand, and you know when you get out the splinter, it's very painful, and because you got to literally use, because sometimes the splinter will get into the nail, right? And in order to get it out, you might have to leave a little pin to dig it out first, and you take out, otherwise the whole place will be infected. But, you know, as we begin to do this, I remember when Esther Joy had that, and I think she had a splinter, it was swelling, and she don't even know. It was like little tom-tom, you know, really big. And so when I pull it, you keep pulling it away. But the more you pull it away, you say, no, give me your hand. Why? Because it is needful. You know, in the same way, when we go through the trials, when we don't feel like praying, that's when we need to pray even more. Even with tears in our eyes, say, Lord, help me. You know what? God will. Okay? So Jesus wanted to teach the disciples prayer. He was also, this is not on the slide, but even in the public ministry, he prayed. You know, when he fed the 5,000, he fed the 4,000, he prayed. Publicly. Okay? Any questions? The next one, Jesus taught on prayer. The other one, Jesus taught on using the scriptures, using the Bible. The Lord Jesus sought to impress upon the disciples the need to know and how to use the scripture. Let's turn to two passages. Turn to Matthew 5. Matthew 5 is as he was teaching the multitudes. Look, Matthew chapter 5. In verse 17, I'll just read a few verses, and you will find that Jesus constantly used the Old Testament law. Okay, Matthew 5 verse 17, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Verse 18, "Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." These two verses ought to tell us as a believer in the New Testament how important the Bible is in every area of our life. I was sitting in a meeting once whereby there was this some kind of contention going along. So when I brought up the Bible, said the Bible actually said this. One of the people said that, "Johnny, don't use the Bible here." It's like, we're Christians. You know, in this situation, it is taught us, and I believe in your situation, when you are dealing with a certain person, you would bring up the Bible. In this passage, young people and all of us remember in everything that we deal with, in his life as a master on earth, Jesus Christ constantly used the scriptures. Okay, he constantly used the scriptures. Someone has calculated in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, in all Jesus' conversation with the people, in Jesus' conversation with the disciples, there were 66 instances where Jesus Christ used the scriptures with his disciples. That he will bring out the Old Testament and teach them. Bring out the Old Testament and teach them. Bring out the Old Testament and teach them. Parents, that's what we need to do with our children constantly. Don't just tell them what you think. Tell them what the Bible says. And this is very important, because otherwise, the disciples wouldn't realize the value of the Bible in instruction. Okay? In Matthew chapter 13, let's turn there. Matthew 13. Jesus, in teaching his disciples certain things, okay? Because after verse 1 to verse number 8, Jesus taught on the parable of the four soils, okay? Then in verse number 10, "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why are you teaching them in parables?" Jesus answered in verse 11, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Then he goes on to explain, but notice in verse 14, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, since which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand." What does Jesus say? He refers back to the Old Testament again. He used the Bible again. In many of the, you find that in Jesus' interaction with his disciples, he constantly used the scriptures. There's one principle of discipleship we need to learn. And this discipleship is not merely friendship. Friendship is important. It's a good starting point. It encapsulates the discipleship and the disciple and disciple relationship. Friendship is one thing, but you know what? Using the scriptures is absolutely important. And Jesus was teaching that in his life with his disciples. He constantly used the Bible with them. Okay? In Jesus, I mentioned just now, in Jesus' interaction with the disciples, 66 references were used in the Old Testament. When Jesus spoke to the public, he used over 90 references to the Old Testament. So whenever Jesus spoke with the public, he constantly used the Bible. You know, one of the things, hopefully in Ambassador Baptist Church, in our counseling, we will use scriptures all the time. In our discipleship, in our teaching, in our admonishment, constantly, even among the teenagers, can I encourage you to, rather than talk about soccer, rather than talk about the things that the young people talk about, why don't you just talk about what you learned in youth? Edward, what did you learn yesterday? Sorry? Pressure. Okay, we learn about true love, okay? It's fine, Pastor, the BGR, we learn about true love, okay? What about true love? We'll basically go through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 8, alright? Illustrating the truth. And we need to be able, during lunchtime, do you talk about that? I want to encourage us during lunchtime, talk about what you learned. And it's very important, because Joshua 1 verse 8 said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." In other words, as you hear the word of God, you constantly talk about it. And the more you talk about it, the more it stays with you. And parents and Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, this is what we need to do constantly with young people. Highlight scripture all the time. Jesus taught that. Okay, it was necessary for their evangelism as a Christian, as they would have to abide in Christ's words. Let's turn to John chapter 15, verse 7. John chapter 15 and verse 7. Let's read it together. Okay. Jesus actually mentioned this as a prerequisite for winning souls to Jesus Christ. It's a prerequisite. You need to have it. Okay? Ready? One, two, go. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Okay? In the context of this, John 15 is Jesus saying, we as Christians need to bear fruit. We need to bear fruit. And one of the ingredients of bearing fruit, Jesus says, if you abide in me, if you stay with me, and what? My words stay in you. The word stay in you means you have a working knowledge of the Bible. Now, Brother Johnny, I can't even read properly and all that. Take time. Spend time in reading. All right? We can have simple programs whereby we just read to our children, the younger ones. But you know, for all of us, we need a constant input. FBI is one source that you can read on a constant basis. You need to have your own regular Bible reading. Okay? So that constantly God's Word will be in you. The human nature does not want God's Word. There's a man by the name of Daniel Webster. He was the one who came out of the Webster's Dictionary, 1828. One of the things he said, that the natural man doesn't want spiritual books. The natural man does not want spiritual books. If you give let's say to a young Christian, or sometimes you give a book to the person like, after a few pages, close and keep. Even for us, sometimes, when we receive a Christian book as a birthday gift, do we, okay, let's read that. We'll see what God has. You know, sometimes it doesn't click with us. Not just with us, but if you give a Christian book to someone else, they'll close it. Even our tracts, we give to someone else, they read the first few pages and then they close. Why? The natural man doesn't want to hear spiritual things. Okay? But, as a believer, an indication of our spiritual life is our wanting to hear what God has to say. We want to hear what God has to say. Okay? And that's what Jesus is saying. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what ye will. Prayer, and it shall be done unto you. Then in verse number 8, and then you will bring forth much fruit. Okay? So firstly, Jesus gave the pattern of prayer. Secondly, he gave the pattern of using scripture. And number 3, let's turn to the book of Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Jesus gave the pattern of soul winning in his life. Mark chapter 1 and verse 36 and 37. Okay, let me just read that. You can turn that, I'll read that. Verse says, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. A lot of people are looking for you, Jesus. Okay, but verse 38, notice what Jesus, and he said unto them, let us go into the next town that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. As you know, it was easy for Jesus to just say, wow, a lot of people come to me. Why don't I just stay here and preach to them, teach them. I mean, they are here anyway. But you know what Jesus said? No, no, no. I know people came. I already taught them already. But you know, it's not about them becoming to me. There are other people that need Christ as well. And so, I'm going to go to the next towns and preach to them also. Okay, for those just came in, there is the notes and all that. Alright, just follow along. Okay. Whatever the Lord Jesus was doing, he always had something to do with evangelism. Okay? He always had something to do with evangelism. And that's important for us to understand. In the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, everything he does was pointing to the fact of getting people saved. Did you know that? The example of our Lord Jesus Christ's life was, as he was talking to people, he wasn't just talking to be a friend. He always had the background and said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That is the heart of God. As a believer, that needs to be our heart too. That as we speak to people, we don't just want to be their friend. A true friend will give what is necessary to the other person, right? And therefore, the true friend will share the gospel with the other person. We're not insurance agents. We're not sales people. We are messengers of God. We are messengers of God that helps us. But God wants us to actually share the gospel with the people. Okay? So the Lord Jesus Christ's life was constantly, the Bible says he went from village to village teaching and preaching. And of course, but Brother Johnny, I'm not called to full time. But God wants us to influence people where we are. Okay? If you have read a little bit of the history of the Baptists, and you need to, what we're going to do, hopefully in time, there will be a course that we'll do, that we'll trace through, and you'll find that our Baptist forefathers are very evangelistic. They are soul winners. Everywhere they went, they don't just save people, they change towns. Everywhere they went, okay? So, whatever the Lord was doing, he had something to do with evangelism. And for us as Christians, we need to be doing regularly. We need to be doing daily. But Brother Johnny, I'm just working in this place or I'm just in this school. You know what? That's your mission field. That's your mission field. You may be working with 2 persons, those 2 people is your mission field. If you're a group of people under you, that's your mission field. Okay? That's your mission field. And then point number 4, the life of Christ. I'll just share with you some thoughts on this. Teaching naturally. The Lord Jesus practiced with his disciples what he expected them to learn. The Lord Jesus practiced with the disciples what he expected them to learn. In other words, whatever Jesus wanted the disciples to learn, he always did it first. Does it make sense? Whatever Jesus wanted the disciples to learn, he always did it first. If we want the disciples to understand what soul winning is, we'll go tracting. And that's a very important principle. We may not, that's not for me. Sometimes we think that's not for me. But in the life of Christ, that's what he did. And we're supposed to follow his steps. All the disciples then have to do was to watch what Jesus did. Okay? I want you to stay here. I will teach you what to do. All you have to do is watch. Huh? You see, then I do 1 time, 2 times, after it's your turn. That's what it means. You know, we need, as Christians who are older, to be models to the younger ones. So that when they see our life, say, oh, you mean a Christian ought to behave like that. That's what Jesus was doing with them. All the disciples had to do was to watch him, how he approached people, how he drew people to himself, how he won their confidence, inspired their faith. And in the life of Christ, I just read the notes I have, it wasn't a set of do's and don'ts. But his teaching was so real and so practical, it just came naturally. Because he was just sharing his life with the people. And that's why it means that when you spend time with God, when the Holy Spirit controls your life, the life you live, people just have to look and say, hey, I think that's right. You don't even have to tell them. Okay? Of course, later on you got to teach them. So every time we talk to someone, we need to bring in the Bible, the scripture, deliberately, applicably, and clearly. It's very important for us to learn this, because sometimes for us to be a model for someone else, we always sometimes have to think, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to like show what I cannot do. Christ wants us to be the imitation for someone else. Someone to look at our lives and say, hey, if that's the kind of Christian life, if that's what Christian life is all about, and I can see in the Bible, I think that is the way, a model to follow. There are 2 problems with that today. Number 1, in the church, we don't have enough Christian models of the life of Jesus Christ. Not our own life. And that's very important. My goal as a pastor is not for you to follow me, but follow me as I follow Christ. Yeah, I'm not perfect. But you know, and for youth leaders, for parents, it's not to follow what we think, but follow what the scriptures say. So that when our children look at our life, the Sunday school children look at the youth look at our life and say, hey, that's a picture of Christ I see. I read it in the Bible, and that's what so and so is practicing. We need Christian models. Number 1. Number 2. In this world, that's quite very self-centered now. No one is looking for these models anymore. Oh yeah, Christianity is good for you. Yeah, I'll just do it myself. Everyone for themselves, right? Self-centered. In this materialistic, self-centered kind of culture in which we live. Those are the two problems. Does Ambassador Baptist Church have Christian models? Can we honestly say that I'm a model for someone else as I follow Christ? Those who are older in the faith, you know, that's a challenge for us. The next generation will only be strong as we are. You know, as parents, we need to be the models for our children in how we behave, the things that we do. I had one teenager who asked me at 14, 15 years old, and many, many years old, and said, "What that means, everything also I must control myself." I said, "Yeah." Isn't that what in submission to the Spirit means? Where we submit to Christ in self-control of our desires and our cravings? Okay? Jesus taught naturally. He lived his life as a model for other people. And number five, classes were always in session, meaning that Jesus constantly, every day, when he rode on a donkey, when he was walking, when he was eating, when he rise up, when he pray, every time he was teaching his disciples something. And that's what I try to do. And sometimes I think people get irritated, but you know, I believe that's how God wants us to teach. I think as parents also, every little thing is that you need to do this because Jesus said this, and you need to constantly teach our children. Even just older in the faith, in the church, you can help. Why don't you just pay attention? Why don't you? We constantly teach, okay? But we need to be prepared that people may not want to listen. But that's fine, as long as we are doing our role, okay? Concluding, any questions up to there? So 5 points that Jesus used in his discipleship life. Number one, the key area is prayer. Prayer was very important. If as a Christian you do not know how to pray, you don't want to learn how to pray, nothing will come out of your life. Nothing. You know, that's a bit heavy, but I want to encourage us. You know, how do we learn to pray? By praying. We need to pray. And for those who are older in the faith, we can actually be with the younger ones to teach them to pray. Okay? Number two, using scripture. The Bible ought to be, by God's grace, as we grow. I'm not saying at the age of, after 2 or 3 years of Christian life, you are expected to know everything about the Bible. No, that's not it. But you are expected to use what you know of the Bible, what you have already learned, to apply it. Oh, God says I need to give. Okay, how can I give? Maybe as a teenager, I've got $10, so I just set aside maybe 50 cents or $1, I'll give it to the Lord. Practicing. And then we can teach other people as well. I think the older children can teach the younger ones, the older teens can teach the younger ones, to teach them how, and constantly using the Bible. Soul winning must be a lifestyle of every Christian, because it was the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. If you want to imitate Christ, your lifestyle must be a lifestyle of soul winning. Would you agree with me? The entire life of Christ, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. But Brother Johnny, that's not my calling. I know that may not be your calling, but that was the life of Christ. And we're supposed to imitate Him, that our lives will be constantly having the heart of God, that everywhere we go, the Char Kway Teow man, the bread lady, we will go, at least give a tract, invite the people along. When we walk around, hey, there's this person that I can just give a tract to. Constantly having that mindset of soul winning. Because that was the life of Christ. Teaching naturally, through our life as a model to someone else, and we are constantly having the principle of always instructing someone else. In conclusion, some practical lessons. Number one, we need to understand the secret of the Lord's influence. Jesus did not ask anyone to do or be anything which first He had not demonstrated in His own life, thereby not only providing His workability, but also relevance to life. What does that mean? Jesus didn't ask anyone to do something that He didn't do first. I think one of the most, for me as a Christian, one of the most, let's turn to John 15:13. One of the most convicting passages on this learning lesson is John 15:13. John 15:13. Let's read together. John 15:13, ready? 1, 2, go. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Did Jesus do this? You know, when I read that, I first thought it. This verse came to my mind. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus said it, and Jesus didn't expect anyone to do it. He did it first. He laid down his life, not just for his friend, but for enemies. Amen? You know, in the life of Christ, the Lord's influence is simply this. I will not ask you to do without me doing it first. And as I live my life as a Christian in prayer, in soul winning, in being an encouragement, by God's grace, someone else will see that and follow Christ. Not follow Him, follow Christ. Okay, that's one. We need to understand all of us will influence someone else. All of us will influence someone else. That is very important for us to understand as a Christian, living in the family of God in the local church. All of us will influence someone else. No man liveth to himself, no man dieth to himself. We either influence someone towards Christ. I hope, I believe many of us are trying to do that. But unfortunately, sometimes the things we do may influence someone away from Christ. And so number two, Jesus was able to do this because he was constantly with his disciples. Everything that the Lord Jesus did was a personal lesson for his disciples to see and observe, and therefore they were practically learning every moment of the day. Okay? Jesus had to be constantly with his disciples. If we are to be a disciple of someone else, older Christians, there's a price we have to pay. It means that when it's your rest time, you will think more of this other brother that is struggling in his faith, and you will be with him. It's hard. Now Jesus says we are to follow him. Okay? He was constantly with his disciples, and that's a price we have to pay. The next principle, a picture is worth a thousand words. People is not looking for explanation, but they're looking for a demonstration. Sometimes what you explain don't get through, but when they see it, they get it straight away. Does it make sense? They get it straight away. In Matthew 5:16, what does the Bible say? Matthew 5:16? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify God, which is in your glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And Luke 11:33, no man, when he had lighted a candle, put it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Christians, people are looking to see Christ today. You know why? The human mind, the non-believing mind right now, are not impressed with God's word. But when they see someone practicing it as an example of what Jesus is, things start to change in their mind. They begin to realize, hey, this person I saw was different from the other person. Okay, a picture is worth a thousand words. Point number four. If we are to train men, if we are to disciple people, we must be prepared for them to follow us. In 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, that's what Paul said to the Corinthian church. Paul actually told them, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Follow the example you have in your mind, even as that person follows Christ. All of us need heroes. Heroes. Okay? Younger children, they're superheroes. Remember? Can't remember. That's why children are so into Superman, Superman, Batman, Ultraman, all the kind of man. Alright, and there was one 4-year-old, I think, who believed he was Superman, and he jumped out of the house, flat, and of course he couldn't fly and he died. Okay? You know, all of us need heroes. Christian, who is your hero today? Of course, it has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. But is there someone that say, hey, everything this person does or that the sister does, it encourages me. It may not be a lifelong example where you follow everything, but you know, it could just be, I think I've shared with you, and I'm sure you have in your own life, certain people who through their life encourage you to do something for Christ. That is what Jesus is mentioning. Okay, if we are the trained men, we must be prepared for them to follow us. And the last concluding point is, we are models. We are examples. We are illustrations of the Christian life. If we say we are Christian, we are illustrations, we are models, because we demonstrate to the watching world what the Christ life is supposed to be like. Let's just go through a few verses. Philippians 3, 17. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. The Bible says, let's read together, okay? Philippians 3, 17, ready? 1, 2, go. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have for us an example. Okay, Paul tells it, look, follow me. And Paul was not being proud. He's saying, follow me as I follow Christ. Okay? Our actions and our words and even our motives will be followed. Have you ever heard of someone say, wow, if the person does that, then I also can do that, Lord? If as a Christian, oh, he do this, and so I also can do that. Yeah, I know, but some people say, I've always heard this, whereby when there is, someone may say that they are doing certain thing, then another younger Christian say, oh, in that case, then I also can do that. Right? We need to be very careful, because what we do, someone else can follow, both in our actions, our words, and even our motives. Alright? In Philippians 4 and verse 9, Paul told the Philippian church, those things which you have both learnt and received and heard and seen in me, do. Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. When in your life you can demonstrate Christ in time, is it possible for you then to impart the life of the Lord Jesus Christ to the other person? And because the person is constantly seeing and constantly practicing what he is seeing. If we are to be disciples, people who will disciple someone else, our life needs to be a constant demonstration of Christ. That's what this lesson is about. You know, this has practical lessons for every rung of our Christian life. Okay, as leaders, as fathers, as mothers, our words, our actions, our attitudes even will be imitated. Like it or not. I think all of us will agree that sometimes we see in our children some of the weak points of our lives. You know, that's the reality. And that's why we need to give ourselves to Christ, even as youth leaders, even as a pastor, even all our attitudes, our actions, and everything that we do will be imitated. And that's very convicting. And that's where we need to pray for one another, because we are all weak. Knowing what and how to do evangelism is one thing. There needs to come a time to realize we cannot run away from the principle of association, those who have been following through. Association means together, and impartation through demonstration. When we are with someone in discipleship, we're always with them. We're trying to impart to them the truth. The only way they're going to get it is when they see a demonstration of it. Does it make sense? You know what I believe for us as a church? It's time to, many of the things that we have learned over the years, many things we know, we just need to start being obedient to them. We may have our reasons, but you know, if we're not doing that, then we're not obeying God. Okay? Unapplied knowledge can become a stumbling block to further truth in your life. I say again, unapplied knowledge can become a stumbling block to further truth in your life. Okay, as we close, we are lessons for new believers. When a new believer comes to our church, are we a model that they can imitate? This church, or is warm, is loving, is caring, and whatever. And they can actually straight away, again, I'm thankful that there are some visitors who come, and they kept on coming because people have been reaching out to them. And that's actually a good principle that we are doing. We are to be models and answers for the life of new believers. Some of the younger teens don't understand why so-and-so can be like that. When they speak to them, they begin to share why God did this. Like yesterday, someone shared about being thankful for the fact that God will never leave us. You know, that's a good encouragement to another young one. Yeah. When a person sees that, hears that, say, hey, that's a good encouragement to someone else. Okay? For us to impart the life of Christ to others, we must have the life of Christ in ourselves. For us to be able to impart life to someone else, makes sense, right? We must have life in ourselves. I cannot give you $20 if I don't have $20. I can only give you what I have. You know, I hope for us we understand this principle so strongly. We cannot teach someone else what we ourselves don't have. And therefore, Christ wants His Word, His life, His Spirit to be constantly in our lives. Okay, let's turn to Galatians 2:20 as we close. Any questions? Galatians 2:20, the last verse. Galatians 2:20. Let's read together. And some of us may be thinking, "Well, Brother Johnny, this is quite a long process." Yes, it is. The reason I can teach that, I've been a Christian for 30 years, so it makes it easier for me to reflect upon many mistakes I've made, sins, errors. For those who are younger in the faith, can I encourage you, just take the next step that you're supposed to do. It could be baptism. It could be just starting putting tracks in your bag and maybe just sharing with someone whom you've not shared with for a long time. Just a small step. Maybe just praying. Just praying 5 minutes a day extra and keep building it up every day and setting a goal and say, "Lord, I will follow you. But God, I need your help because I'm weak." And for some of us, maybe many distractions in our studies and all that. So Lord, help me to spend time. Okay? Let's read Galatians 2:20. Ready? 1, 2, go. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Okay? As much as we want to be a demonstration to other people, remember, in our own life before God, we are dead in Christ. We are crucified with Christ. Our sinful life is past. Okay? For those who are still under the guilt of the past, for those who are still under the condemnation of the past, or whatever that we may have done, God says, "I don't care what you have done, it's all at the cross. I'm crucified with Christ. But nevertheless, I live, yet not I." Christians, the life that you are living now doesn't belong to you. We touched on that in the service. Life doesn't belong to us. The life which now live in the flesh, I live how? By the faith of the Son of God. That's a very important verse. In the Christian life, you don't live by your faith. You live by the faith of the Son of God. Many Christians fail in their Christian life because they say, "I need to have more faith." No, you need to have more faith of Christ. How did Jesus have His faith? How did He believe? What teachings did He give us? We need to live by the faith of Christ, okay? And that's why we need to learn, we need to pray, we need to... if you don't understand the Bible, you need to ask someone else so that you can begin to understand what Jesus taught, okay? "I live by the faith of the Son of God." And the last part is very encouraging, "who loved me and gave Himself for me." A constant reminder that we are Christians because of what Jesus Christ did at the cross. Christians, whatever may happen in your life, the focus is what Jesus has done for us. He loved us and gave Himself for us. That must be the point that we operate in all of our attitudes, in all of our actions, in all our reactions, and all of our service. Does that make sense? The anchor point is the redemption of our soul, that Christ gave Himself for us. That must be the starting point. Therefore, I'll serve Him. Despite what happened, therefore, I'll serve Him. Because of what He's done for us, therefore I'll serve Him. Okay? Any questions? May I encourage those who are older in the faith, let's be demonstration of Christ to the younger ones in Ambassador, and also to the people that come in. For those who are younger in the faith, yeah, we're all weak, we make mistakes. Let's then look up to someone and say, "Hey, brother, would you tell me why or how I should change this?" No, young people really need someone that they can look up to. You know, what is the alternative they have? They look up to the people of this world. And that's not what we want. Okay? Any questions? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this simple lesson of demonstrating our Christian life. And Father, as a church, we believe with all our hearts You want us to be not just Christians. Although we know the word Bible, in the Bible, Christian means disciples. But Father, we don't just want to be a mediocre Christian, doing our own thing, living our own corner, doing what we want. But Lord, we want to be what Jesus Christ is. Father, forgive us every sin that we have ever committed, Lord, to not wanting to follow you 100%. But yet we know, Father, you have never changed in your love for us. We thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. Father, I thank you. But Lord, for the sake of the younger ones that we have in our church, for the sake of the unsaved that are out there, Lord, for the sake of our loved ones, Father, for the sake of the next generation of believers who have to fight increasing sin, Lord, I pray in our hearts that you will burn in us the need to be an example for another Christian to follow. The God that we who are older in the faith, Lord, that you would help us to give us the burden of being an example to just someone else who are younger in the faith and really need Christ in their life. Father, help us, even as we see in the life of Christ a demonstration of the need for praying using your word, a need for teaching constantly, a need for soul winning, which is your heart for lost souls, that God, this will be our imitation of your life, because you taught us in 1 John 2:6 that we who belong to you ought to walk even as you walked. Lord, personally, individually, we're asking you to help us in every area of our life, in our actions, our deeds, our thoughts, our heart, that we will completely be in line with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and our Master. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts as we just have some time of break before the service. We prepare our hearts, Lord, to learn the principles you want us to learn. How we can be an example, Lord, to someone under us. I pray for everyone who is a spiritual leader in some way, an ambassador, that our lives, Father, will reflect Christ, and that we will be willing to for people to imitate our life, our behavior, our attitudes. For anyone doing something, Lord, we pray, God, our lives will always be a savor of life unto life. We pray for every dad, every mom, Lord, as they live their lives in open view of their children, Lord, help us to walk like Jesus Christ in our actions, in our words, in our attitudes, both within and without our families, that, Lord, the demonstration of your life in the Bible will be clearly evident to those who are watching and learning. Father, for those who are learning, I pray, Lord, that they will have a heart to want to see what the life of Christ is like. May Ambassador, Lord, be a shining light for you. Lord, we are weak. We need your help. But we're asking you, Lord, to take control of every one of our hearts. Lord, may 2013 be different, because we want to follow Christ according to his way and his will and his word. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. Bless the service to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.